This is a special breaking news update from Up First and NPR News. There is dramatic news today from the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has issued a ruling in DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. President Trump made an effort to end that program with an announcement in September of 2017, and the Supreme Court has blocked him from ending that program. Hundreds of thousands of people living in the United States right now do not have legal status and have not been pursued by the United States government, have been granted a form of legal status by the government since the Obama administration. President Trump attempted to end that. The attempt ended up before the Supreme Court, and the ruling before us, written by Chief Justice John Roberts, finds in most of the cases, and there are details which we will get into as we go along, but that in most of this case, the court finds that it had the right to review President Trump's decision. The president said the court had no business doing that at all. And having found that it has the right to review President Trump's decision, the court finds that DHS's Department of Homeland Security's decision to rescind DACA was, quote, arbitrary and capricious. In other words, the federal government, the Trump administration, had the right to end this policy, which was established by a president, can be ended by a president, but it had to give reasons. It had to give good reasons. And Chief Justice Roberts, writing for the court majority, finds that throughout most of this case, the federal government failed to provide an adequate rationale for what it did. There is so much to discuss here, including additional details of the ruling. It is not an entirely unanimous ruling. There is one provision where the justices came out differently, and we'll get to that as we go along. But first, let's go to NPR's John Burnett. He covers immigration, he covers the border for NPR, and he is very familiar with many of the people who are directly affected by this ruling. Hi there, John.
Good morning, Steve.
How significant is this decision?
Oh, my goodness. So many of the DACA recipients and the advocates and the immigration attorneys were so pessimistic that this was going to, that Trump was going to pull the plug on DACA. And in fact, it's just been this upset. What we know is in this, as you said, this 5-4 decision, it allows the Dreamers to continue the way they've been living for, in many cases, 8 years, which is they have shields from deportation. They have work permits. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's four liberals in writing this opinion. And what's remarkable, Steve, is that back in November of last year, when the Supreme Court heard oral arguments, Chief Justice Roberts, he cited his understanding that the Trump administration would not deport DACA recipients and suggested that it was mainly just a program to grant work authorizations. But then in January of this year, Matt Albenz, head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, announced that his agency planned to deport all the DACA recipients whose renewals had expired. And so he left no question that this was not going to be a kind and gentle ramp down of the program, but that they planned on sending these folks home, these young professionals, these nurses, these teachers, most of whom don't even remember their homeland. They were brought here as children by their parents through no fault of their own. And so in this astonishing decision, the program stands.
I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. You're telling me, we don't know the exact timeline. These are events that aren't going to happen, but it's possible that had the court ruled differently today, deportations could have begun tomorrow or very soon.
Well, that would have depended on what the details were. There are lots of scenarios that everybody's been talking about. But if the court had allowed the president to continue this program, yes, they could have stopped renewals immediately, and they could have said no more work permits, and you would have had 644,000 people out of school and out of work. Or they could have let it ramp down gradually, and as these two-year work authorizations expired, then they would be subject to deportation. They would be given a notice to appear by ICE, come before the agency, and then their number would be up. And so, you know, Steve, the people I've been talking to, they've really been pessimistic. They've all been sort of planning their futures, and they've just been, living in limbo, sleeplessness, anxiety, watching their Twitter feeds, wondering when the determination of their futures in this country was going to come down. So this is a huge decision. It still has to go to Congress. It's still just a program created by President Obama, and Congress still needs to decide what to do with the so-called Dreamers.
Oh, and that is a remarkable and important point here. It appears that the administration has the right to end this program if it does it the right way. The Trump administration didn't do that. If you were critical of them, you might say they didn't bother to do that. They needed to give good reasons in the proper way in order to end the program, and President Trump never did so. According to Chief Justice John Roberts, who again found the effort to end DACA arbitrary and capricious, I suppose it is still conceivable that this administration or another administration could attempt to end the program properly. It is still not a program that has the force of law, still not a program that has been endorsed by Congress, as you say, John Burnett. Now, let's remember who exactly is affected here. How many people were DACA recipients, roughly speaking, and who are they? What kinds of people are they?
Well, again, we got a recent count from the Migration Policy Institute, and they said it's nearly 644,000 young people. And many of them are parents now. And so 250,000 U.S. citizen children have DACA recipient parents. So those families would have been ripped apart.
And those 640,000, just so I understand, these are people mm-hmm. who were brought to the United States as children. They were, I think, 16 and under. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And so it was not their choice to come. They were minors at the time. They came into the United States. You told me how pessimistic DACA recipients were, how mm-hmm. doubtful they were that the Supreme Court would side with them. And now the Supreme Court has sided with them. What was the reason for their pessimism when you spoke to people?
Well, I think it's because of the conservative drift in Trump's court. And most analysts thought that they would give the president the right to do what he wanted with this program. And so everyone was planning their futures. Some planned to go into the shadows. Some said, okay, we'll go back to Mexico. Others were going to try to scrape together some money to get a good immigration lawyer. Some were going to try for work visas to stay where they are. Some planned to marry their sweethearts. A U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident is the way to regularize their status here. So, man, they were scrambling to try to figure out how to stay in this country, the only one they know.
NPR's Nina Totenberg has covered the Supreme Court and is as authoritative as anyone has ever been in covering the Supreme Court. And she is on the line. She's had a little bit of time to read what this decision says. Nina, good morning to you.
Well, what it says to me is that by a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court has saved the DACA program and said to the administration, look, you have the authority to send these folks back, but you have to do it the right way, in a way that's accountable. You have to go through a lot of different procedures to justify what you're doing, make reasoned arguments that can then be presented to the courts and upheld if they're good enough, and then you can wind down the program. But you didn't do that, Trump administration. You said DACA was illegal, which the court finds 5-4 it is not, that it's legal. Mm. And that secondly, when you went to dismantle it, which is your right, you did it the wrong way. You did not give reasons that we could examine and evidence and say, well, you did it fairly and justifiably or not. And that's what you fail to do. And you have to go back to square one now and start from the beginning, which, of course, there isn't time to do, I think, by the end of this administration.
We will see if the president gets a second term, of course, and an opportunity to do that. But we're hot into an election campaign now.
Right. But by January, I don't think they can do this.
You don't think they could do this? They still wouldn't have.
By January. If President Trump is reelected, he could do this.
I want to follow up on something that you just said in passing there, Nina. You said the court found DACA is legal. This is a big deal. Let's review a little bit of the history here. Many people will recall this. President Obama, before he instituted DACA, said that he couldn't, indicated on more than one occasion he had doubts about the constitutionality, did not think it was constitutional for the president to do this without an act of Congress. The president later changed his mind, decided that he could do it, and did it. He was accused of hypocrisy. He was accused of unconstitutional actions. And you're telling me that the Supreme Court has now found, actually, this program does pass constitutional muster. A president can choose to do this or not do this if they do it the proper way. But it's in any case, it's within the purview of the president. Is that right?
That's basically right. And if you examine this really from the court's perspective, and even from Obama's perspective, the court is saying you gave good enough reasons to do this. And they went through the administrative process and the review process, and they were justified. You could say, if you want to view this from Obama's point of view, I really had questions about whether I had the authority, but it was presented to me. The arguments were good enough, and they were good enough for five members of the Supreme Court as well. And I think it gets Republicans also out of a very tough bind, because if the court had struck down DACA, and you heard John Burnett say that they would potentially begin deportations for at least some of these young people, it would have been just another awful thing for the for Republicans in Congress to have to deal with.
Can I mention something remarkable? As you're saying that Chief Justice Roberts, John Roberts, wrote the decision here, Roberts, an appointee of President George W. Bush, joined the four members of the liberal wing of this court. This would appear to be the second time that I can think of off the top of my head where Roberts was part of a 5-4 decision that preserved a major initiative of President Obama, the other being, of course, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And here it is, Roberts acting again in a way that keeps a major Obama act going.
Well, you would expect the Chief Justice to write the opinion in a case as important nationally as this one. If he was in the majority, you definitely would expect him to write it, as he did in the ACA case. I think it is really noteworthy, but it is also the action of a chief justice. Their job is to, the technical term is mass the court. Now, you'd like to mass the court to be 6-3 or unanimous, but when you can't, you will get your court in terrible trouble if you go too far out on a limb for too long. And I think that his view here, he looked at the evidence and he thought that they had presented enough to justify DACA. And you know, Steve, when I was working on my piece setting up this story, one of the people I interviewed was Janet Napolitano, the former head of DHS in the Obama administration. She said, if they'd done a full policy review and had set forth all their reasons and demonstrated that they had weighed the pros and cons and just come to a different conclusion, they might be able to prevail in this case, she said. But they didn't do that. And I think that's the essence. I think Roberts is saying, you have the right to unwind this program. You simply did it the wrong way. You did it unilaterally, essentially.
Didn't do your homework was the finding of the Chief Justice of the United States.
Yes, basically, you didn't do your homework.
Nina, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this special update. Go to npr.org and tune into your local NPR station for live coverage of this developing story.